Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we entered into the home stretch of the readings of the Easter season, which are all taken from the Last Supper, but to be read in a different way than we normally read them. Normally when we hear Jesus speaking to us in the Last Supper, we're looking prospectively to the cross, to what's going to happen in his betrayal that night and the following morning. The Church gives them to us during the Easter season so that we can look at the fulfillment of everything Jesus was saying in the light of his great triumph. These are the means by which Jesus is going to be indicating to us how he wants us and is going to help us to experience communion with him risen from the dead. So today at the beginning of the 14th chapter of St. John's Gospel, Jesus basically says, "Just as you trust in God, trust me." During this year of mercy, how important it is for us to hear that Jesus wants us to trust in him. And he's never just going to bark out a command. He's always going to give us the resources we need to fulfill what he asks. He's going to give us special graces to trust in him more. He doesn't want our hearts to be troubled. And he essentially indicates to us that faith in him, just like we have faith in God the Father who sent him, is the means that no matter what's happening outside of us, we don't have to fear. We don't have to have a troubled heart. We all, I think, have experienced over the course of time that when our heart is troubled, it just kind of multiplies problems. It starts spiraling downward. Everything starts adding to the next, and we just get more and more distant from the Lord. The Lord is telling us that the solution is to entrust ourselves more deeply to him in the midst of those troubles, and that's when we will find peace. It tells us something absolutely extraordinary. "I'm going to prepare a place for you." The whole purpose of his death and resurrection was to prepare for us a place. "My Father's house, there are many mansions," it says in Greek, "and I'm going to reserve one for you." So often we can think in terms of hotel rooms or other things like that when we hear this. The place that Jesus was going to construct was the new temple that was to be destroyed and then raised from the dead on the third day. And our communion with him in that temple makes us his dwelling place. Jesus is going to create a situation in which we're going to be able to abide in him and he's going to abide in us fully. That's the place he's gone to create. But it's not just enough for him to do that work. It's important for us to receive that gift so that we might in fact enter into that new place he has made for each of us individually by name. How do we assume that gift? Jesus describes it later. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Jews prayed throughout the Psalms, as we continue to pray until the Lord's second coming, for a few different things from the Lord. We have been praying since God revealed the Psalms. Show us your paths, O Lord. We've begged him. Teach us your decrees. Teach us your truth. Why? For both of those, so that we might walk in your ways, so that we might experience your life. Give us life because we feel like we're drowning. The whole psalm, the whole psalter, is a series of plaintive prayers for God's light, for God's showing us the way through the valley of darkness, for God's very life triumphing over the things that suck the life out of us. And Jesus here reveals that the place he's gone to prepare for each of us, that new communion made possible by his resurrection, is going to be the fulfillment of all of these prayers in the Psalter. When Jesus will say, you pray for God's truths to be revealed to you, I am that truth. Believe in me. You've prayed that God's ways may be shown to you. I am that path. Follow me. You've prayed for life. I am that life. Rather than have life sucked out of you, draw your life from me. Jesus wants us to relate to him in each of these three ways. And he's going to give us all the help we need to do so, to recognize that he is the incarnate response to all our prayers. Saints Paul and Barnabas trusted in the Lord. They recognized that the Lord had a place for them, which is what made them so courageous that not even death could separate them from that new place, being temple, literally contemplating with the Lord. And so, as we saw yesterday, they trod through the terrible malaria-infested swamp like the Everglades of Perga and Pamphylia, and then they ascended one of the most dangerous places on earth, the 3,600-meter climb up a rock cliff, where, to make matters even more dangerous, there were always bandits who would catch you at your greatest vulnerability. To get to the top of that cliff, Antioch and Pisidia, to be able to preach the gospel there in the synagogues of Galatia. But they were willing to do it all because they were fearless, because they were in communion with the Lord. And when they showed up, these strangers in the synagogue on Saturday, the leader of the synagogue turned to him and said, if you have a word of exhortation to share. Paul and Barnabas always had words of exhortation to share, as we should always have a word of exhortation to share. Tonight, everybody we're going to meet at the gala is going to be looking at us for a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement. St. Paul gave a 26-line homily, according to the numeration of the Acts of the Apostles. Yesterday we had 13 verses, today we get 8. Tonight, after the gala, you have the last 5 verses as homework. I don't know why the church doesn't give us the last 5 verses, it makes no sense. Regardless, in St. Paul's words of encouragement, he does something the structure of which we should always grasp for all our apologetic conversations, for all our words of encouragement. He first started with all the hopes of the Jews and traced, as we saw yesterday, salvation history. Second, he personified all those hopes in Christ, saying Christ is all that you were looking for, the fulfillment of everything. Then he described what had happened to Christ. Some accepted him, but many rejected him. He was a sign of contradiction. And then he finishes the conclusion of the 5 verses that we don't get, which are really the action item. Now you must choose. Are you going to accept Christ as the fulfillment of all your hopes and dreams, all your prayers? Or are you going to do what those did who crucified him? we learn that essential structure. So important for us not just to listen to the Word of God, but also to listen to the real prayers and needs of the people with whom we're talking, the real concrete needs, what their legitimate hopes are. And even if they articulate their hopes for something stupid, for something really materialistic and fleeting, underneath that, there's a hope for something much more. So we first identify those hopes and needs. And then we help them to see how Jesus is the fulfillment of those hopes and needs. And then we bring them to the point of choice by letting them not just know about the possibility of rejection, but frankly, to let them know of all those who have chosen to believe here and to receive the fruits of that faith. How many great saints we have before us who have chosen well, so that they themselves might have the opportunity to choose, to entrust themselves to the truth that God reveals, to follow Him who is the way, and to draw their very existence, their sustenance, from Him who is the life. Christ has indeed gone to prepare a place for us. And the place He's prepared is this fusion, we could call it, this calm union between Him and us. He travels such a distance, does so much work in order to give it to us, and He asks us to leave where we're comfortable, to get up, to believe what might seem too good to be true, to follow Him to this place so that He can give us life and give it more abundantly. That place happens here when Jesus illumines our minds with His saving truth, when Jesus helps us to follow Him by entering inside to give us the indications as we're even walking, and to give us that holy Zoe that not even death can destroy. We're here, our whole lives scream to people that we believe in God. Jesus asks us to trust Him in this way, like Paul and Barnabas before us, so that we might be His ongoing echo of encouragement to the whole world. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.